Hello and welcome. This is Sharon. I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, December 3rd, 2025. As always, we begin our reading on the front page. Day to Give. Bloomington Police Sergeant Keel Nowers dropped off baby wipes and formula during the 23rd annual Stuff the Bus campaign during Giving Tuesday, December 2nd, in front of the Walmart at 2225 West Market Street. Connect Transit, in partnership with Paul Davis Restoration, the Amalgamated Transit Union, Heartland Bank, and Radio Bloomington, hosted its 23rd annual Stuff the Bus campaign for BrightPoint. Lauren McBain, Major Gifts Director for the Midwest Food Bank, spoke with GrowMark employees before she accepted a $5,000 check on behalf of the food bank at its normal office for Giving Tuesday, also on December 2nd. Today's Flick Fact Question. As ratings across the United States go, the Peoria, Bloomington TV market is one of Jimmy Fallon's best, and many Central Illinoisans on vacation go to New York City to attend tapings of The Tonight Show. Ever wondered what happens if attending and you need to visit a restroom during the taping? Do they allow you to come and go from your seat? And the answer is they don't, as recently learned on a visit. Shortly before the late afternoon taping begins, after a comedian warms up the studio audience and Fallon himself comes out to greet the crowd, a potty break is called for all audience members. Once the taping begins, in case of dire need, audience members can leave the studio, but then they are not allowed back in. From the past pages of the pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, on December 3rd, 1925, Bloomington banks will resume their former schedule of keeping open on Saturday afternoons. Necessity for such action was brought to the attention of businessmen and financiers very forcibly last Saturday, the Chicago and Alton payday. Many businessmen who cashed paychecks ran out of funds during the afternoon. 75 years ago, on December 3rd, 1950, a mud-splattered Santa Claus arrived at Bloomington's Square Saturday, spick and span. Santa descended from the Ann Rutledge train after 10:30 a.m., but after a parade along the wet street, his red hat was crooked and his boots were muddy. 50 years ago, December 3rd, 1975, construction of septic systems at new homes around Lake Bloomington would be nearly impossible under recent limitations imposed by the Environmental Protection Agency. The chief limitation was for all surface dischargers to have a device that would remove phosphates from the sewage. And 25 years ago today, on December 3rd, 2000, in his 29 years on the bench, Chief Circuit Judge Luther Dearborn issued rulings in just about every type of case touching every segment of society. It's really kind of a lonely job because you're the one who has to make a lot of important decisions in people's lives, Dearborn said. After almost three decades as a judge, Dearborn, 59, spent his last day on the bench December 1st before retiring. Last month, Elizabeth Robb was elected to fill one of the two circuit judgeships, and John Freese succeeded him as chief judge of the 11th Judicial Circuit. The pantograph has a commitment to accuracy, and they want you to let them know about issues regarding accuracy and fairness. You can contact them by calling 309-820-3242 or by email ojacobs@pantograph.com. You can also visit pantograph.com/corrections to view the past corrections that have been made. Uptown Normal, TIF hearing postponed. Normal will wait until next year to act on a plan to rework and expand a property tax-based economic development tool for Uptown Normal. The Normal Town Council was scheduled to have a public hearing on Monday about expanding the Uptown North Tax Increment Financing District, but amendments made to the legal description of properties within the district made a delay necessary. The Normal Town Council on Monday instead approved having the hearing at 6:50 p.m. January 20th before the start of the regular council meeting at Uptown Station. The proposed district expansion comprises of lots north of Uptown Circle, including the east and west sides of Constitution Boulevard, continuing north to Mulberry Street, and encompassing the vacant Frontier property there. It would also include the vacant Busey and Commerce Bank properties at the corner of College Avenue and Broadway. The project area contains approximately 24 acres when including street rights of way, or 8 acres when not counting the rights of way, and 29 parcels of real property. The area is mostly built out, but includes vacant buildings and 2.6 acres of parking that are showing signs of deterioration. The town has had contact with various developers and multifamily housing builders to gauge interest in pursuing projects in Uptown Normal as laid out in the Uptown Plan. The town's Joint Review Board, which comprises affected taxing bodies, unanimously voted to recommend the approval of the new TIF and redevelopment plan on October 30th. A tax increment financing district is an economic development tool that reinvests in areas in need of redevelopment. Property tax revenues are frozen at their current base rate for taxing bodies. As redevelopment in the district pushes up property values, the additional property tax revenue generated, called the increment, going into the district's TIF fund instead of to taxing bodies, and then can be reinvested in the district in forms such as infrastructure improvements or incentives. Formal notices will be sent to affected taxing bodies and the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. After the public hearing, the town council will consider the adoption of the TIF district at its February 16th meeting. Pay hike for city manager okayed. Normal city manager Pam Reese will receive a 4.9% annual pay raise to her base salary and a 9% increase to her retirement. The Normal Town Council on Monday approved raising Reese's salary by $11,000, taking it from $226,000 to $237,000 per year. The council also increased Reese's deferred compensation retirement account contributions from $2,750 to $3,000 per year. The raises are part of an agreement that extends Reese's contract by a year to March 31st, 2028. She has been Normal's city manager since 2018, when she was promoted from assistant city manager. A performance review took place during council executive sessions on October 6th and October 20th. Council member Kathleen Lorenz voted against the salary increase, calling the salary increase excessive. Council members Scott Preston and Karen Smith were absent. Lorenz said non-union town employees' pay is tied to growth in the Consumer Price Index, which is now around 3%, and the most recent collective bargaining agreement with municipal, other than police and fire employees, calls for around 4% each year for 4 years. Obviously, this is a matter of personnel, so I don't want to go deep into it at all, Lorenz said. I just believe that 4.9% is excessive for the CEO of an organization to have such a greater amount than the rest of the organization. Bloomington City Manager Jeff Juergens currently earns a base salary of $220,500, and the Peoria City Manager Patrick Urich earns $226,754, according to those city records. New floors approved for museum. The Children's Discovery Museum in Uptown Normal will soon replace the flooring in the second floor exhibit area as well as in other areas. The Normal Town Council on Monday approved a contract to J. Spencer Construction of Normal for $168,800. According to town documents, the scope of the work also includes flooring in both stairwells, second floor party rooms, and the elevator, and repainting the walls and ceiling in both stairwells. The project was let for public bids and a site visit for bidders was held on October 16th. One reasonable bid was received from J. Spencer at a public bid opening on October 23rd. A timeline still needs to be established with the contractor that aligns with the exhibit construction and installation being coordinated by the town's Cultural Arts Department, according to the town documents. In other action, the council approved the purchase of two 2026 Chevrolet Equinox electric vehicles from Sam Lehman Chevrolet for $62,795. They also approved a special use permit to install roof-mounted solar panels at 1209 South Fell Avenue. And an agreement with the Illinois State Historic Preservation Office for Community Development Block Grant, Section 106, Environmental Reviews. Residents, keep College Avenue Station. Normal residents continue to ask town officials to reconsider their plan to relocate Fire Station Number 2. During the public comment portion of the Normal Town Council meeting on Monday, two residents expressed support for keeping the current Fire Station Number 2 open at 1300 East College Avenue. If not for the skill and the quick actions of the rescuers from Station Number 2, I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you today, said the Reverend Trevor Gearhart, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Normal, who credits the quick response from there for saving his life. That station, which served as the department's headquarters until the new one on Main Street opened in 2017, is slated to close sometime after a new Fire Station Number 2 opens farther east at the corner of Shepherd and Hershey Roads. The relocation, which was approved 2 years ago, will move the station from its centrally located address to 2406 Shepherd Road. Construction began for the new station in early October. While town officials say their plan to relocate their three fire stations will optimize coverage, Normal Firefighters International Association of Firefighters Local 2442 says its own study contradicts that and calls for keeping the College Avenue station and increasing to four stations overall. Last month, Lorenz called for a council work session to consider both viewpoints, but nothing has been scheduled. Kathy Olofsson, communication director for Normal, said the town remains confident in its relocation plan, and there is no work session planned. Gearhart said that on October 11th, he was driving west along East College Avenue when he suffered a heart attack and collapsed behind the wheel. His vehicle swerved off the street and struck a building a block from the fire station. Paramedics and firefighters from station number 2 responded immediately, beginning CPR, Gearhart said. After two shocks from an automated external defibrillator and several more minutes of CPR, he was stabilized and transported to Carl Broman Medical Center. "It's not an exaggeration to say that I really am genuinely a walking miracle," he added. Gearhart said the outcome may have been different if that fire station weren't fully staffed and nearby. "The location is a crucial hub to several population centers in our community, and it is a high traffic area," said Gearhart. "In fact, I don't even live in one of the neighborhoods that surround that spot, but like so many of our residents, I spend a lot of time traveling College Avenue." Resident Eric Hall said he has lived a few blocks away from the fire station and has seen it as a meaningful part of the neighborhood's safety and identity for decades. Hall talked about how his children and others have grown up watching fire trucks respond to calls multiple times a day, waving from the sidewalk, and they've learned from an early age what the value of service looks like. With the upcoming relocation of station number 2, Hall said he and his neighbors have concerns about longer response times and whether the area will still have the same level of protection. "We understand the goal of improving response times elsewhere in town, but improving service in one area while reducing it in another isn't progress, it's simply shifting the risk," Hall said. "Tonight, I'm asking for accountability and transparency," he said. "If this decision is truly based on data, then that data should be easily visible for all to see." The Firefighters Union has recently released a study that said call volume has increased 83.6% since 2006, going from 4,401 to 8,061 calls annually. The union cites a variety of factors, ranging from business and population growth to cuts in other community programs that shift the burdens to fire and ambulance services. 4 paint disposal drop-off locations open. The Ecology Action Center announced McLean County now has 4 drop-off locations for easy disposal of latex and oil-based paints. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency approved Paint Care's Illinois Paint Stewardship Program Plan in October, and has announced 300 collection sites across the state of Illinois. As of Monday, collection sites in McLean County can be found at recyclebn.org, and they include Sherwin-Williams at 115 Krispy Kreme Drive in Bloomington, and 1906 6 each College Avenue in Normal, and RP Lumber at 2440 South Main Street in Bloomington and 208 West Cherry Street in Leroy. Other area sites include RP Lumber in El Paso and Clinton and Gibson Ace Hardware in Clinton. A full list of locations can be found at paintcare.org/drop-off-sites. The Paint Care program is open for all to use. Accepted materials include interior and exterior architectural paints, including latex, acrylic, water-based, alkaloid, oil-based, enamel, including textured coatings, deck coatings and floor paints, including elastometric, primers, sealers, undercoats, stains, shellacs, lacquers, varnishes, urethanes, single component, waterproofing, concrete, masonry, wood sealers, and repellents, not tar or bitumen-based, and metal coatings and rust preventatives. Paint Care sites cannot accept leaking or empty containers or those without the original manufacturer label, paint thinner, mineral spirits, solvents, aerosol paints or spray paints, auto and marine paint, art and craft paint, caulking compound, epoxies, glues, adhesives, paint additives, colorants, tints, resins, wood preservatives containing pesticides, roof patch and repair, asphalt, tar and bitumen-based products, two compound coatings, deck cleaners, traffic and road marking paints, industrial maintenance coatings, and original equipment manufacturer shop application paints and finishes. There are no charges for dropping off paint at a Paint Care site. Paint Care programs are funded by a fee which is applied to the purchase price of each container of new paint sold in the state. The fee is not a tax or a deposit, according to a news release from the EAC. You can visit ecologyactioncenter.org or call 309-454-3169 for more information on residential recycling and community recycling programs, recycling of non-traditional materials, and on disposal of household hazardous waste. 12 Days of Giving to Help Eureka. Partnership for a Healthy Community and the Food Pantry Network, Heart of Illinois, are partnering for 12 Days of Giving campaign. The campaign runs the first 13 days of December. Donors are asked to give items that warm and nourish families and place them in containers at the end of the campaign to give to their local food pantry. The idea is to collect 12 different items that are in great need at area food pantries, said Rebecca Crumrine, University of Illinois SNAP Ed educator, in a news release. To achieve this, our list includes requested items like healthy, shelf-stable food items, hygiene products, and winter attire. This year, the need may be even greater as families catch up from delayed food benefits and pantries work to restock their shelves after a trying time. The items are as follows. Day 1, whole grain, low-sugar cereal or oatmeal. Day 2, low-sodium soups. Day 3, hygiene items like deodorant, soap, shampoo, and feminine hygiene products. Day 4, low-sodium canned vegetables. Day 5, canned fruit in 100% juice. Day 6, canned chicken or tuna in water. Day 7, boxed potatoes or stuffing. Day 8, spices, including cinnamon, pepper, various powders like garlic, onion, and chili. Day 9, warm weather attire, like new hats, gloves, and hand warmers. Day 10, household supplies, including laundry detergent, toilet paper, paper towels. Day 11, kid-friendly snacks like unsweetened applesauce, dried fruit, and trail mix. Day 12, low-fat, shelf-stable dairy. Day 13, drop-off completed box to the local pantry. Free toolkits are also available at go.illinois.edu/12daysofgivingtoolkit. You can visit facebook.com/partnershipforahealthycommunity or go.illinois.edu/12daysofgiving for more information about this program. The Pantograph Goodfellow Fund, a charity owned and operated by the Pantograph Media, is in its 98th year of giving back. You can make a cash or check donation to the Goodfellow Fund by mailing it to Pantograph Goodfellow Fund, P.O. Box 680, Bloomington, Illinois 61702. Normal theaters are offering holiday screenings. You can experience the spirit of the season at the Normal Theater. General admission tickets are $7, $5 for students, and the tickets are available at normaltheater.com. The movies they'll be showing are Batman Returns, Black Christmas 74, Carnage for Christmas, Christmas Bloody Christmas, A Christmas Carol from 1938, A Christmas Story, Die Hard, Elf, Home Alone, Hundreds of Beavers, A Northwoods Christmas, In Bruges, It Happened on Fifth Avenue, It's a Wonderful Life, Jingle All the Way, Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Christmas in the Dark, Meet Me in St. Louis, The Muppet Christmas Carol, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, The Polar Express, The Santa Claus, The Thin Man, Tokyo Godfathers, and White Christmas. We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, December 3rd, 2025. Please stay tuned.